club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
MG, I love a Thursday because Brent Reid joins us with all the best mail from the world of rugby league. And I would imagine that given the announcement today of Wayne Bennett officially becoming the coach of the Dolphins, Reedy might be talking about some potential marquee signings for that club.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. Even though we're a few weeks after the grand final, rugby league is still dominating headlines because of the fact that the Dolphins are now an entity. And who will be going there is going to be the biggest question on everyone's lips as far as rugby league goes. And as far as Wayne Bennett goes, well, he can attract anyone.
Well, he'll get to Wayne Bennett in his press conference very shortly. I'm going to ask you to come to the defence of your beloved Central Coast, the town of Terrigal, that you is your second home.
Yeah.
Because it's copping a bit of a rap because young Tom Starling from the Raiders has got himself into some trouble again. So I'm going to ask you to come to the defence of Terrigal a bit later on. And we've got to have a look at this Sunday where the Matildas will take on Brazil here in Sydney at Parramatta Stadium in front of a crowd. How good is that going to be?
Yeah, first the Everest, 10,000 people. Now it's going to be the new CommBank Stadium.
CommBank Stadium.
Which I wouldn't say would be full, probably be half full, but still having crowds at sporting events in Sydney was something we could only dream about a month or two ago.
Going to be fantastic. Lots to get to, but off the top.
What's cracking?
Yeah, I feel very privileged, actually. At the start of the season, I had no idea this would happen, none at all whatsoever. So it's been quite a journey, and pleased to be back in Brisbane. I'm pleased to be here. Yeah, well, look, you've got a $9.5 million salary cap, and now you've got to get some marquee players, so that'll be our priority, to get those and build the other players around them. Okay, the talent will come, and we'll grow the talent, we'll find the talent, but it's who we are and what we are and what we stand for is the important thing within clubs.
We knew it was happening, MG. Official today, Wayne Bennett is the coach of the 17th NRL franchise, the Dolphins, who will enter the league in 2023.
Yeah, it was the biggest fait accompli in rugby league history that he was going to be coach, but now that he signed on the dotted line, now the managers of all players will be lining up in a queue to say, "Look, please take my player." Regan Campbell-Gillard has come out and openly stated he wants to be the face of the Dolphins. I dare say he will be one of them. I know that there's going to be another litany of players as far as marquee. We've heard every marquee player in the land has been linked to the Dolphins, and now that Wayne Bennett has secured the coaching role, that'll only enhance player managers trying to get their players up there. I think it's a fantastic move. They needed a big name. They've got a big name, but who he takes with him was another question, I suppose, and everyone wants answered. Who's it going to be?
Well, and he was asked that very question at the press conference today, and there were some suggestions that he might poach some players from his former club, South Sydney Rabbitohs, but Wayne was strong in his defence.
If you look at South Sydney, for example, Jaden Sewer and Pat Mago were both cast out by the Broncos. You know, Darius Boyd followed me for a decade because the Broncos didn't want him. Okay, so I have no history of taking major players from any club.
And he just manages to get a couple of shots at the Brisbane Broncos on the way through.
Look, if I'm Blake Solly at the Rabbitohs and if I'm Jason Demetrio, I'm a little bit worried. I'm a tad worried because the feud started. It started here on the Rush Hour. We're starting it. South Sydney v. the Dolphins. It's going to be the biggest feud in rugby league.
Okay, now Wayne's saying he won't poach any players, and that's all well and good, but there could be some managers of Bunnies players who put the phone call in to Redcliffe or the Dolphins.
Oh, no.
Who do you think should be on the lookout? Who should be on the watch list?
Well, I suppose someone like Jackson Paulo, who's up for contract at the end of this season.
Oh, yeah. The Moonwalker.
He's a big lump of a lad for a winger. He really come on in that latter stage of the season for South Sydney. I think anyone who Wayne Bennett coaches usually wants to go where he goes because they all fall in love with him. And he's got quite a charm as a coach. I think, Milford's obviously here for a season. He's got a couple of young guns in front of him next season for the Rabbitohs, but he could be one that he eyes off to have a bit of a resurrection at the Dolphins as maybe a number 14. Someone like Liam Knight, who didn't see much first grade because of head knocks this year. But I think the biggest one, I think one who would definitely be in the coach's eyes, and I think the player's eyes as well to head back home, would be someone like Jai Arrow. Jai came down from the Titans after having been coached by Wayne Bennett in Origin. Obviously, again, fell in love with Wayne's culture and what he does, what he brings to the team. And Look, I don't know how happy or unhappy Jai is in Sydney. He is a Gold Coast boy. It's a bit different to living on the Gold Coast, living in South Sydney.
He's in Maroubra.
It's a beautiful spot of Sydney, mind you. But yeah, I think someone like him would be on the hot spot as far as the Dolphins hierarchy go.
He's still got 2 years. Well, he's still got 3 years to run on his contract. 3 more years at around 700K. But as we know, contracts
these days
not worth the paper they're written on. So
that's right.
We wait and see. I can see it's almost that Munster Bennett relationship you think he might have with Jai Arrow, someone who's got some off-field indiscretions in his past, but clearly is a star of the game.
I think Munster's firming to be the number one signing. I really do. I know we're talking to Rudy soon about some mail, and we'll get some mail. And I can't wait to. I hope he's talking about some news on Harry Grant, because he could be in the sights as well for the Dolphins. But I think Munster is basically, you can almost say it's a done deal. I haven't heard anything to say that, but I think someone like Munster, he's openly stated it. He was the first one to come off the cuff and say, mate, if the Queensland team comes in,
he said that months ago
before you know they'd even been. In the picture. So I think Cameron Munster will be their marquee signing. If I'd have a bet on who will be their marquee signing, it'd be Cam Munster.
Well, nice work. It's official, Wayne Bennett. And I'm straight off the top, well done to the Dolphins social media crew. Did you see the announcement, the way they announced it? It just said it was a one pager that just said, I'm here, Wayne. That was the press release. That's all awesome. They needed to say. So, very nice work by the Dolphins.
Look, he'd done it before. He's done it before with the Broncos in 1988 when they came in the competition. He coached them for 25 years. And obviously, he won't be coaching the Dolphins for that long, but he has instant success wherever he goes.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Imagine a first grade coach 100 years old.
Modern science is capable of amazing things. But every Thursday, we, of course, do this. Oh, MG, we creep closer to November 1 when this man will be run off his feet. We might have to make it a Reedy special rush hour on November 1.
I think it's all about this man, because he has got his finger firmly on the pulse of rugby league, and he's always breaking stories. He's on his way to lunch now with the NRL 360 crew, where they'll argue over the garlic bread, and they'll argue over this, and they'll say, pass the calamari.
He is the glue that holds the Triple M NRL family together, Brent Reed from News Corp. Reedy, where are we starting today? What are we looking at off the top?
Well, we might as well start with the Dolphins, because they unveiled their coach today, the great seven-time premiership winner, Wayne Bennett. Now, all the focus now will be on who they're going to sign. Those meetings will be frantic. They'll step up in the next couple of weeks, I'd imagine, particularly when November 1 comes around. But I can tell you, you can put a line through Harry Grant for the Dolphins. Now, Harry had a mutual option in his contract. That means that he could have taken it up, or the club could take it up for the 2023 season. It's not due for months yet, but the Melbourne have informed Harry's camp that they will take up that option. So what that means is, he will be a Storm player in 2023. So you can put a line through Harry being the first signing for the Dolphins. That won't be happening. And it's an interesting one, because obviously the Storm have got Brandon Smith as well. They've at least now guaranteed that they've got their hooking spot covered with Harry Grant. If Brandon Smith decides to go at the end of next season, because he's about to enter the last year of his deal and he will be inundated with offers, then they've got Harry Grant there anyway. So that's big news, I think, for the Dolphins, because he had been... There were suggestions he was a priority signing for them, but that will not be happening now.
That's massive news. I thought he'd be the front charger in Wayne Bennett's list, and even though Wayne has come out and said that, you know, no player is excluded from who I want to sign, I thought Harry Grant could have been the main one. But that's great news for the Storm, Reedy. That's fantastic news for Melbourne.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about his deal is he had an option his way, which is a certain figure. I believe it was midway through next year. Then a month later or so, the Storm could take up the option at a higher figure. Well, wow. I mean, that figure is still below what Harry's probably going to be worth on the open market. So even though they've taken it up at the higher figure, they've still got themselves a bargain, the Storm.
All right. Well, what about looking into Sydney at the moment? The West Tigers, it's a team that we now know Madge will be in charge of. Luke Brooks will be staying there. But Tim Sheens has arrived. He's in the chair and he's making some decisions.
Well, the coaching positions are the one. Obviously, the Josh Hodgson affair is going on in the background, but the coaching positions have been a subject of much attention in recent weeks. I mean, Shane Flanagan was obviously in the mix there. Flanagan and Shane obviously pulled the pin, pull himself out of contention. The word was he wasn't going to get the job, one of the jobs anyway, one of the assistant coaches' jobs. I'm not sure why that is. I would have thought Flanner would have been perfect for the place, but as I understand it, he wasn't going to be one of the assistant coaches even before he'd pulled his hat out of the ring. It looks like it'll be Nathan Kalis and Ben Gardner. Mads knows them both pretty well. He knows Ben, I think, from South, and obviously Kalis through the Kiwis. So he's gone with two blokes he knows. And, he'll live and die by that decision because, as we know, if Mads doesn't have a good year next year, then it's all over Red Rover for him. So, I'm surprised Flano wasn't one of the guys that they were going to go with, but that's the way he's decided to go. And as I said, he'll live and die by the results.
Yeah, I'm not one bit surprised. I think Shane Flanagan's way too much of a threat to the head coaching role at Tigerland. I wouldn't have him. If I'm a coach, I don't want him anywhere near my assistant's role. He's too good for that role. And I think that he's a major first grade coach in waiting. He's won a competition. You watch him on Fox Sports. He's a fantastic analysis, and he's got a great analysis of the game. So he won't be lost to the game. He'll be up there soon as a first grade coach. I'm sure of that.
That'd be like, Reedy, you letting Chamis in to co-write stories with you, mate. You don't let the fox into the hen house.
And mate, you know, Chamis would just be white-handing your left, right.
Oh yeah, termite big time.
You know what he's like. Actually, you know what? Just before I spoke to you blokes, I spoke to him. He was tuning in for information about how he could get a gig next year. So I think Charlie, the producer, is going to be getting a few phone calls.
That's good.
Mick from Glenmore Park wants a job.
They know where to be, MG. That's all that matters. Hey, and we need to talk about Josh Hodgson because the reports were that he was all set to get a deal done with the West Tigers, but young Tom Starling, the player that the Raiders have put their faith in as the hooker for now and moving forward, he's run into some legal trouble up on the Central Coast that puts Hodgson's deal at risk.
Again, Tom Starling.
Wow. Yeah, well, I was going to say, MG, he's got one outstanding charge from an incident at the end of last year. Now he's on the Central Coast again at the weekend. I think, as I understand it, he bumped into the bouncer, one of the bouncers who was involved in the previous charge. Some words were exchanged and the police have become involved. So, he's facing a couple of charges now, Tom Starling, which I guess casts a bit of a shadow over him moving forward, particularly, if the NRL decides to sanction him, he may miss the start of the next season. So obviously that could have ramifications for Josh Hodgson. I don't think it will. I just think that deal has gone too far down the path for you to wind it back now. And they've given Josh Hodgson genuine hope that he would be able to go to the Tigers, get an extra year out of it, extend his career. And he's such an influential guy at that footy club that, if he's unhappy, it just won't work. So even though the Starling thing's happened and it may impact on it, my gut feel is it won't because I just think it's gone too far.
Now, MG, we are going to talk more about the Tom Starling incident a bit later on. Obviously, it happening in the Central Coast, Terrigal, a town very close to your heart. So we are going to get you to weigh in on that a bit later on. All right, very nice work,
Reedy. Is there anything this bloke can't do? He's unbelievable, isn't he? He's the first man to do a report on a treadmill while he's running eating a hamburger.
Well,
it's unbelievable how good you are.
Well, Reedy, as we let you go, we need some insight onto this lunch.
I've got a bad back too.
We need some insight onto this lunch before we let you go, Reedy. We just need a simple answer of who'll be the first one home from the NRL 360 lunch and who'll be the last man standing or last woman standing.
Well, I'll be the first one home because, it's not my nature to stay
Of course not.
Burn the candle at both ends. And I imagine
Did you drive in?
I didn't drive in, no. Last man standing, well, it'd be a friend of the show, the great Hoops, wouldn't it, surely?
Jackie Hoop.
Might have a curfew.
He might have a curfew.
all right, very nice work as always, Reedy. A pleasure, and we will speak to you again next week.
See you guys, good stuff.
And the T20 World Cup, MG, the preliminary qualifying stage continues along. The minnows of world cricket playing. Sri Lanka brought the Irish back to earth with a pretty comfortable win overnight. And Namibia basically ended the Netherlands' chance of getting through the next stage as well. But the Australians had their final warm-up. They take on South Africa in their tournament opener this weekend. They had their final warm-up game overnight against India.
Yeah.
And they lost. It didn't go particularly well, especially for David Warner and Mitch Marsh.
Been a good over so far. Last ball. Oh, yeah, he gets him first ball, Ashwin. 2-2 for him. Not the best birthday present for the birthday boy, Mitch Marsh.
Golden duck for Mitch Marsh and a just single run for David Warner, who's just out of form, out of sorts at the moment.
Yeah, they are. Look, I think at the moment it's kind of lucky they are warm-up games, because I think I would be buoyed by that if I'm in the Australian team. They can't get any worse at the minute. And I think and going to a, you know, sometimes when you play a trial game, which inverted commas these are, and then you go out for, when you're playing for 2 points, you kind of up the ante a bit and you're a bit more, you know, a bit more in the game. And I think as long as Davey Warner gets that out of his system, I think he's the man to watch in this World Cup.
Steve Smith found some form too as well. He found his hands, as he's famously said previously. He batted nicely, and so too did Glenn Maxwell. I've got a vested interest in the World Cup, particularly this stage when we see all the minnows playing, MJ, because if things had turned out differently, I could have been there. I could have been at the World Cup competing for one of the minnows of world cricket.
I know your background in cricket.
One international cap.
I see that you are on the notice board and the board of fame in Vanuatu as a one of their leading cricket players, and Liam, they call you over there. So Learm,
my single international cap ball for the country of Vanuatu. Yeah, back in 2006, living over there for a year at the time, playing in the local cricket comp and dominating to the point where they picked me for the national side when a touring Victorian team came to town. We don't need to go into why I only played one game.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I thought I was unfairly dropped, frankly. I mean, I opened the bowling with a maiden. I opened the bowling for the national side.
That
maiden.
Unbelievable.
The second over didn't go so well. I went for about 28.
And what about your batting?
Well, I came in at 7. I think they expected, you know, I don't know, Damien Fleming or Mitchell Stark, someone capable of clearing the boundary at that number, and I was bowled for a 4-ball duck.
Hence to say your international career was short-lived.
Short-lived.
Not many can say they played for a national team.
Can't take that cap away from me. I don't care what they tried. They tried to.
What bat did you use, by the way?
Oh, whatever was lying around in the kit.
Gray Nichols?
Scoop.
Scoop. The scoop. I love the scoop.
MG, last weekend we got a taste of what sport can be with a crowd when the Everest was run with 10,000 people at Royal Randwick.
Yeah.
Well, this weekend, we go up a notch. Because on Saturday at CommBank Stadium, Parramatta Stadium, the newly named CommBank Stadium, the Matildas will play on home soil for the first time in almost 600 days. It's almost been 2 years since the Matildas last played in Australia. And what's more, they'll take on number 7 in the world, Brazil, in what should be an absolute cracker of a friendly at this ground.
Oh, I can't wait. I wish I was going, to be honest. So if it's 75% capacity, we'll probably get somewhere along the 20 to 22,000.
Yeah, I believe
mark.
That's about what they're allowed to have at the ground.
Great. That is so good.
It is a cracking ground for rugby league, and it's the same for football as well because of the setup.
Custom-made.
It's beautiful to watch sport out, and I can't wait to see it. Joining us on the line, Matilda's player, and someone who will be a part of the coverage this Sunday, thanks to Channel 10, the official broadcaster, Georgia Yeoman-Dale. Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Georgia, this is going to be sensational. As Liam mentioned, it's been almost 600 days since we've seen the Matildas in the flesh, but now 22,000 fans will get to see them play at CommBank Stadium this Saturday. How good is it going to be?
Yeah, look, it's super exciting to have the Matildas back on home soil. It has been a long time, not just to see them play, but these girls haven't been home in a really long time. So great to welcome them back. And what else than a huge encounter against Brazil on Saturday night at 7:45 kickoff.
Now, Georgia, where is this Matilda side at? We know the brave effort they put forward at the Olympics, failed to win a medal, but where are they at in terms of the international calendars? What is Coach Tony Gustavsson building towards? What's next on the calendar for the Matildas?
Yeah, look, they're in this really interesting transition phase at the moment. We saw a great result at the Olympics. We've finished as high as we have in any major tournament, so it was good to see that we could make our mark. The next thing coming up, we've got the Asian Cup in January and February next year in India. So that's what they're building to. But they've also got one eye on the World Cup, which will be here in Australia and New Zealand in 2023. So they've got a split focus between the next major tournament being the Asian Cup, but also how do they develop the young players to make sure that they're really competing at that World Cup.
That is going to be fantastic, the World Cup here. I forgot all about that. I forgot all about 2023. It's coming down under to both here
and New Zealand.
That's awesome. Yeah. They're down under as well, so wouldn't let them miss out on the coin. As Liam mentioned, Georgie, the Brazilians are seventh. We're 11th. We slipped a bit since 12 months ago. Who are the stars of this Brazilian team who we've got to watch on Sunday?
Yeah, look, they do have a few stars, and it's always been such a tight encounter between the Brazilians and the Matildas. A lot of history there. You've got Dabena in the midfield who controls all the play, but you can't go past their star in Marta, who really has been a pioneer of football and the women's game, both in Brazil but also globally. She's won World Player of the Year 6 times. She's scored at 5 different World Cups. So much experience, and she doesn't seem to be slowing down at 35. So it's exciting to have a player of her calibre coming to Australia, and will really put on a show.
As for our girls, obviously a lot of outside noise. I suppose that they've been away for so long, they're coming back to it, and they wouldn't probably realise how big a deal this has been of late. The inverted commas, the scandal that's happened with the Matildas. I suppose that the best thing they can do is get out on the pitch and just play what they play.
Yeah, look, I think that you're exactly right. You know, it's a big thing that's going on at the moment, and they're all aware of sort of the significance of it. Quite serious allegations, but you know, from my experience within this national team, they're a close-knit group. This will pull them closer together, and once they get out on the field on Saturday night, it's all going to be about football and trying to get that result.
Now, you can catch all this live on Channel 10. Kickoff is at 7:45 p.m. Saturday. Now, Georgia, have you had a chance to play at CommBank Stadium yet since it's been built with all the COVID situations? Have you had an opportunity to play in front of a crowd there yet yourself with the Western Sydney Wanderers?
Yeah, we did. Fortunately, that was one of our home grounds last season. So we didn't really get the opportunity to have too big of a crowd when we were first playing there just due to the COVID regulations. But I have been out at that stadium a few times, and the atmosphere is just amazing. It's definitely a ground that's built for a rectangular game, unlike some of our other stadiums around the country. So the atmosphere will be wild if we can get plenty of fans out there, which I'm sure we will, given the tough times that New South Wales has faced this year. It's a really good opportunity for football fans and the community to get out there and do something a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Georgia, I want you to bear witness to one of MG's unique talents. He's determined that stadium is worth at least 6 points to the Parramatta Eels when they get to play at home. So, MG, I need you to tell me exactly how much CommBank Stadium on Saturday will be worth to the Matildas when they take on Brazil.
Well, when you factor into the Brazilians, I think, and Georgia can correct me if I'm wrong, are flying in, flying out. So that's a bit of a hard task for them. They haven't been here quarantining at all. So I would say it's at least a goal.
At least a goal difference.
Yeah, right. I think I think playing at CommBank Stadium will be a goal, and I think the Matildas will win 2-1.
All right, Georgia, a tip from you who actually knows something about the sport as opposed to what MG just gave us.
Yeah, look, I've tipped for it to be 2-1 as well.
Today. Oh, no!
based on just the football side of things, I think, you know, the Matildas have the strike force to be able to put the goals away, and the Brazilians are going to be putting on a show. But I think that our girls can get it done. They're going to lift given they're at home. So it's going to be an exciting one.
Well, I'm disappointed you backed up MG's prediction, but I appreciate it nevertheless.
Thank you, Georgia.
Georgie Omendale.
I'll give you that $50 when I see you.
Part of Channel 10's official coverage of this game Saturday. You can catch it all live on Channel 10 kickoff 7:45. Georgia, best of luck with the coverage. We'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Almost time for us to get out of here. MG, tomorrow, Tim Zhu. I know we've already spoken with Brock Jarvis this week. It's boxing week on the Rush Hour, but Tim Zhu will join us because he's got his new fight to pump up. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, so looking forward to speaking to Tim again.
Oh, look, when the up-and-coming boxers of Australian sport want to come to a place where they can feel comfortable, they come to the Rush Hour because
Absolutely. They
love the Rush Hour as much as we do. Yep. We love them.
Absolutely. Now, MG, I need you to step into the witness box and testify. Provide a character witness on behalf of Terrigal. because it's copping a bit of a rap at the moment. Now, for those unaware, Tom Starling, the Canberra Raiders hooker, presented to Gosford local police station yesterday morning, and he was arrested and charged for an incident that occurred over the weekend. He has been charged with threatening or causing injury to potential juror or witness and behaving in an offensive manner in or near public or school. Reedy obviously explained the implications this could have for Josh Hodgson's future. But this is the second time within 12 months that Tom Starling's got himself into some trouble in the seaside town of Terrigal.
Yeah, let me first have a disclaimer and say that I too have presented at Gosford Police Station at 9 a.m. one morning back in 1990. So,
have you?
Yes. When I was, that's another story for another day.
I didn't know that.
And I was barred from Central Coast Leagues for a long time until one of my mates helped me out. So, look, it has a bad rap. The Central Coast is beautiful. Terrigal is, as you mentioned, my second home. Where young Tom got in his trouble is the Terrigal Esplanade, which I've frequented many times. I've never had any dramas there. I find the security, you know, very pleasant. We go up to Terrigal, don't forget, this show. So
absolutely.
When I want to go back up there. Obviously, the Star of the Sea is my my place of choice.
Yes.
Bobby the Boss is a fantastic man. But look, Terrigal's famous for its broad golden sand beach with a tranquil lagoon and seaside vibe. You take your family away, you can go to one of 30 great restaurants, from fine dining to, you know, kebabs and fish and chips. And one of my favourites, the Joker in the Feath, which Tim Clark, the jockey, is part owner of. I love going to the Terrigal Bowling Club to a bit of barefoot lawn bowls with the fam. It's just the best place. It's the best place to take your family. And I don't like it getting a bad rap because I adore the joint.
People will think that MG is sitting there with discovernewsouthwales.com.au open or a pamphlet in front of him. He is doing all of this off the dome. That is legit. Yeah. A non-paid for promotion of this and done so as eloquently as you've ever discussed rugby league on this show.
Broad golden sand beach, yeah, with tranquil lagoon and seaside vibe. Is Terrigal. Get there now.
And if that doesn't tell you how much MG loves the town of Terrigal and why you should go and pay it a visit. Yeah. Go and pay it a visit. Don't get caught up in the news reports.
The end of my little rap on Terrigal is tell them MG sent you.
He gets a kickback for every person.
I wish I did. I wish it. Hey, go straight to the Star of the Sea. Ask for the penthouse.
We're going to get out of here. As I said, Timmy Zoo on the show tomorrow and, of course, Blankety Blanks.
It's Friday tomorrow, and as always, thank you so much for your ears on this Thursday. We love you. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay tranquil.